Let us pray. God of wind, fire, noise, and silence, though Jesus has arisen into heaven, you will not leave us. Continue to break into our lives, pester us with your persistent grace and your holy word, that we too might be remade in your image. And help us never to use our reason against your truth, long promised. Amen. I know that in times like these, we are called and should feel compelled to place our hope in God. Surely, God has the answer for all that is falling down around us. If anything, we should trust that God has this and that God has us. But our world is falling down around us. Can we so easily cling to what God is doing in the world, just trusting that all will be as it's supposed to be, especially when it is so clearly not as it's supposed to be? So somewhat boldly, I think Mark Ramsey asks what we might surely consider unaskable from our lived-in context. Is anything too wonderful for the Lord? That's what God asks. We might well look out on the world that greets us today and swiftly answer, yeah. As we face fear, racial strife, abuse, wars, and rumors of wars, a great number of things appear to be too wonderful for even the power and presence of God. As absurd as we might consider it, aren't we tempted to agree? Yes, it would appear many things are too wonderful, even for God. As I mentioned about a different citation a few weeks back, this quote was written by Ramsey more than a year or two ago, long, long, long before we could know exactly what it means to face fear of COVID-19, of racial strife after the death of another black man at the knee of a white police officer, abuse, particularly domestic abuse, because everyone is stuck at home for months on end. There are still wars and rumors of wars as we jockey for position in economic battles, as we try and do the best we can against threats, foreign and domestic, and a great number of other things. Tropical storms, tornadoes, drought, earthquake, fires, so on. All, of course, at the same time. All of this has to go on all at once. It's more than chance, I think, that we can migrate from trusting God to fulfill all of God's promises to us to that place where we ask the unaskable, is God with us or not? I believe unwaveringly that God is with us. If for no other reason, because the world is falling down around us. That's God's specialty. The falling apart world that is God's beloved creation with God's beloved people that God refuses over and over to give up on. So I'm not daring to suggest in any way at all that God is not somehow with us. God is with us. Instead, I want to point to God's steadfast love of us and grace-filled power as we see it promised in Scripture and as we look for it in all the manifestations of it in our world, in all the ways we're given to wonder. Instead, in today's Scriptures, we see God making good on age-old promises to Abraham and Sarah. announcing and delivering that a 90-year-old previously barren woman with her aged husband can experience sexual pleasure, get pregnant, give birth, have a progeny, and become a great nation. And yes, I mean to say it like that because our English translations give us little idea about the Hebrew images created by Sarah's words that definitely are not PG-13. And if God's promises to Sarah and Abraham, replete with sex and progeny and nationhood in old age, doesn't bespeak hope for us in our world, I don't know what else could. Says Ramsey of our world, it's a world of conflict, division, lower expectations for anything getting any better. A world that is what you see is what you get. God, therefore, is displaying audacious, graceful power in drawing God's followers to believe that wonder, as in amazement, is not beside the point. We are to be reminded that we are still God's treasured creatures living in God's treasured creation, where God does wonders for us of every kind, choosing to love us in new ways of living into the world all the time. God does with Sarah, bringing everyone along with her into a new future. And so God is promising to do with us. It's time, friends, that we've flipped the narrative on our world's struggles and falling down in this and trusted that God was with us to do amazing things. This isn't so easy. When asked this last week if I thought gestures and commercials and statements in the NASCAR broadcast last Sunday represented real change, or if the NFL commissioner's statement, admissions and apologies would make for meaningful change, or if apologies and pledges from others to change in other statements we read and heard this past week would allow those changes to really come to fruition. Fruition and advances against racial injustice and inequality, I expressed my doubts. This seems easily like lip service rather than change. Wonder and awe are in short supply among us just now, even for me. It's hard believing even God can pull us out of our deep, deep struggles with race and racial injustice and bring us all along together. Our willingness as white-skinned people to bend decisively toward a more just and truly just treatment of fellow human beings has already been too long in coming. Yet perhaps it can still be with us like it was for Sarah's years and years and years and years and years and years of unableness to become pregnant and give birth to the child of God's promise. When suddenly and decidedly that is displaced by pleasure with her husband that results in a child nestled securely in her elderly womb. The news, coming by God even, surprises Sarah. Suddenly it is happening, and oh yes, you did laugh. The same kind of divine intervention we want to appear and repair our own waiting for justice. Divine visitation, divine intervention, and an overhaul and transformation of how we live together are surely necessary if we are to meet God's vision for us and the world. This business of denying race matters and participating in racial injustice simply has no place among us. If God is among us, we've grown so lax in participating in the changes God would desire as a part of our life together. But perhaps our difficulty is like Sarah's too, that we don't believe anything so wonderful as racial unity and true justice can really happen, since the world's gone this way for far too long. Can we believe God's ability to craft such wonder and awe amongst us? Or maybe we just can't. Can we live into and participate in our own transformation, even if we white-skinned people have trouble believing such change is even or ever possible? In this moment where temptation is to become like Sarah and laugh at what seems an absurd possibility, we must hold fast to God's gifts of wonder and awe being done before our eyes. That doesn't mean that there are quick and easy fixes. As we heard at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit shows up and creates new problems, which is exactly like our real and lived-in experience these days. While we were worried about COVID-19 and figuring out how to do Zoom worship and keep everyone connected and informed and whether or not we needed to wear a mask in public, Ahmaud Arbery and Breonna Taylor and George Floyd happened. Deaths of black and brown-skinned people because of long-held beliefs by white-skinned people that we are simply more important. That fallacy once again opening old, festering wounds and challenging some of the other beliefs we claim to live by too: equality and fairness and justice. Along with the calls of what should we or what ought we to have done differently, stands the immense reality that we know how things are not the way things are supposed to be, if we are to call ourselves faithful to God's vision. Even more, not only must we renew our calls for racial justice, but admit forcibly that even as God's people and the church, we've been wrong. Hard, yes, but faithful to this story in which Sarah is caught laughing at God's ideals, where Sarah is laughing at the prospect of what God had desired and promised all along could be true, simply because it had failed to come to be as she thought it described, for which Sarah was wrong. In not having believed enough, or in having given up believing, the longer and more improbable it became all over all those years and years, season after season, perpetual waiting until it was presumed impossible but for God. So while we haven't managed to deal effectively or justly with racial injustice in our country for some 70 times 7 years, or for the last 20 centuries since Jesus, or multiple millennia before that, this cannot dissuade us. It cannot dissuade us, even if we are Sarah-like in our lack of believing or our laughing out loud at God's wondrous intervention. Like with Sarah, God's faithfulness may yet still prevail despite our previous results. Not because God can do it for us, but we are committed to doing it with God. Is anything too wonderful for the Lord? From the vantage point of God doing wonder-filled things with us and for us, too wonderful? Not so much. Is anything too wonderful for the Lord, though, when considered from our vantage point of not having yet lived fully into God's vision? Well, that's a whole different story with a lot left to be desired. Yet again, if we are willing to accept the holy headway made by God's continuing visitation among us over and over, again and again, we should feel even more emboldened to press onward toward true justice and true righteousness, not being satisfied in continually enduring the painfully slow progression from one incident to the next, over and over, as if God were not with us. But make no mistakes, even with God, this may yet be a slog. In this scripture narrative, we now have the long-promised baby for Abraham and Sarah, but their story is hardly safe. But at the next turn, we have this promise to fall back on. God promised, and Abraham and Sarah won. Will God's wonders ever cease? I think not. Even in our own falling down world, we are still the people of God's good creation. God will not give up. Why should we? To the Lord our God, Alpha and Omega, be all glory and honor forever and ever. Amen.